The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
51551 is the text number at 9:33. Glitter is banned from our house, is a text over the past 2 years, simply because it's a nuisance to clean up. Another says conifers are another crop that needs to be native trees for biodiversity or it's pointless. And more in on different things. We'll get to them in a few minutes' time. But I want to welcome the Governor of Mountjoy Prison, Eddie Mullins. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Ryan. Thank you
nice to see
me
you again. We spoke before with Philly.
That's right.
Philly McMahon on the Late Late Show. But here we are this morning. You've been very busy, ma'am. I was watching your TED talk that you did. How was it for you?
Oh, it was a great experience, Ryan. I suppose it was the first time we had a TED talk in an Irish prison. So it was very unique. Yeah. I mean, prisons are mundane, to say the least. So to bring a number of guests in to speak on a very important topic was really good. And we had a great audience of, I suppose, would call them influencers, who have... demonstrated their commitment to
your mission.
Our mission, exactly, which we're going to talk about, I suppose, in a couple of minutes.
Funny when you say influencers, you weren't talking to makeup artists and bloggers like
no,
that.
No, not
you mean
the
people of influence.
Absolutely, people of influence. Let's
talk about Mountjoy Prison for a moment as a physical structure.
Okay.
And the reason I want to talk about it is because I was, as you know, I didn't meet you there, but no. I was in there one day, but just by the because I wanted to see what it was like. My grandfather spent some time there and I was fascinated. There's a little museum there that you can go to by appointment. Mm-hmm. And the walls, the Victorian element of it. An anachronism of a building?
Well, it's very unique, Ryan. I suppose it's three prisons within one. Really, we have accommodation for 700 prisoners. It has a medical unit where we have a drug treatment program, and we have a high support unit for prisoners with mental health issues. Mm. And then we have the main prison, which has about 500 prisoners in it. Very challenging environment, difficult place to work, difficult for staff. I mean, on any given day, staff can experience some severe aggression and violence and deep sadness and despair. So it's a really, really challenging place. And sometimes I think the prison service is the forgotten public service. I think back to the recent weather events in 2018. I know several hundred prison staff made their way in treacherous conditions into prison to ensure that the service was maintained. I know in Mountjoy alone, dozens stayed for a 30-hour period while the weather was at its worst. And sometimes I think there is a lack of recognition among the public for the service we do. It's a very difficult and challenging place to work and to live. And as I say, we look after some of the most challenging and vulnerable people in society.
I always think it's fascinating when somebody like yourself, the Governor, comes in to talk to us here on this programme or on the station, and the audience tends to get riled up and divided 50-50 between, dare I say it, right wing, left wing, right? Mm-hmm. You know where I'm going with this.
I do indeed, yeah.
So half of them are saying, lock them up. If you steal, you pay the price. If you do drugs, if you deal drugs, you get the hell behind bars and, you know, hair shirt. And the other half go, well, if they have to, you know, understand where they're coming from, that they're committing a crime for a reason, that they're probably, you know, you just mind them, nurture them and bring them out and try and make them better. It's an age-old argument.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose, Ryan, if you look at the population in prison, there are quite a significant number of prisoners who have no interest in rehabilitation, who make serious money out of crime. They will come into prison and do their time and go back out and resume their criminal activities. But those people also recruit vulnerable people in prison. Prison is a place where they will use vulnerable men and women. They'll entice them into crime through promise of a good lifestyle or fast cars, money, drugs. And once they suck these people into the criminal world, it's almost impossible for them to get away from it.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely, there are people in prison that should be in prison that have no interest in rehabilitation. But there are also an awful lot of people who are in prison who are, and dare I say the word, victims of circumstances. They come from communities where opportunities have been lacking. And you say employment is a big one. The lack of employment leads to inactivity. People are drawn into the wrong type of behaviour.
So if you say they are victims of their background, if you like, and yet they say perpetrate a crime on somebody else who then becomes a victim of the crime and is violated by that, it's a it's a terrible cycle.
Absolutely. And, you know, the last thing we would want to do in the prison service is to add to the pain and misery of a person who has suffered at the hands of a criminal. And but I do believe, you know, if you are to break that cycle, you know, we have to intervene and take people and give them opportunities that take them away from crime. We won't solve all the problems of the world. We certainly won't. There are people, as I say, who have no interest in turning away from crime.
Yes.
But there are a lot of people in the system who are, you know, given the right opportunities and supports. And, you know, the whole notion of rehabilitation, I would describe rehabilitation really as a recovery program. Mm. So in the prison service, for example, we have a lot of programs to deal with addiction, to deal with mental health issues. We provide fantastic education and training programs. But that's really only the start of it. You know, when prisoners leave prison, and almost all prisoners will leave prison at some stage, then it's really over to society to step in and to continue with that rehabilitation and recovery program. And a lot of prisoners will tell you when they leave prison that, you know, they feel ostracised, they feel that they are not welcome back.
Stigmatised,
yeah. Totally. Yeah. And then, so the natural progression for these guys is back to the people that they feel comfortable with, yeah, who welcomed them back. So it's a really vicious circle. So it's so important that society, you know, the prison service and the probation service will do fulfil a particular role, and we will do our job to try and help people. But society in general, employers, you know, communities have a responsibility to continue on with the rehabilitation and recovery program when people leave.
If you look at it like almost a caste system in the prisoners scenario, where you have one group who are the guys you saw, the hardened heads who come in because they got caught, mm-hmm, and they have no intention of doing anything else when they get out. In fact, they're probably still doing stuff from in there. That's one. Two, then, just from extrapolating from what you're,
sure,
saying. Two, say the guys on drugs, they can't get off them, won't get off them, just are stuck in that drug mire forever and ever. And then three, which I think is the one you're talking about mostly, which is the group who got caught up in it and would love to be anywhere else but in that.
Absolutely.
What sort of percentage-wise would you say that those three categories could be in
okay, well, prison? If I look at the Mountjoy, we'll take Mountjoy just as a single entity.
Is it a fair characterisation, by
absolutely,
the way?
Absolutely, it, okay, is. If we look at Mountjoy, I would say we've a capacity for 700 prisoners, mm, and of that 700, there are probably 200 prisoners who, in my view, with interventions today, you know, could go on the straight and narrow pretty quickly. And I'm simplifying that by saying
of course,
now.
Yeah, no, we're just
but equally, like, it's a bit more complex and a bit more challenging.
Of course it is,
than
of course.
Mental health issues are a big thing. And you mentioned, yeah, drugs, Ryan, and the reality is I don't think there are many people that want to stay on drugs, okay? The difficulty is getting off the drugs. And if you come from a background where you can buy drugs and you can support your own drugs habit, you probably won't come to the attention of the Gardaí, and you probably won't come to the attention of the prison system. It's the guys who are chronically addicted but cannot afford to support that habit. Mm. And these guys will become involved in petty crime and shoplifting, whatever it might be, to support that habit. My own personal view is I think these guys are really victims, because what's the difference between a middle-class guy who takes drugs and a guy from a poorer background who can't afford to take drugs but takes drugs? The only difference is they can afford to buy it.
I couldn't agree with you more. So you did 200, said you
said. Now, that's a rough guess.
Yeah, but look, this is all rough because there's nuance here. I totally get that. But just for the purpose of our chat this morning, how many people would you say are in Mountjoy, roughly speaking, who are into and on drugs?
Well, statistically, we say over 70% of the prison population are habitual drug users.
So that number-wise, out of 700, you'd be looking at about
do your sums quicker.
500 plus there.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
that's
yes,
a huge
yes,
amount of number.
Yes.
Now, how many of those 500 plus would you say are middle-class people?
Oh, I would say if you could count on two hands the amount of people in prison that are middle-class.
Now, but that's without drugs, just all told.
Yeah, all told.
So out
of
700, let's call it white collar, blue collar.
Okay, well, I can think in the last year, I can think of two people who I met coming into prison who were from a middle class background, and the crime was drug related. They're the only two that can come to mind.
And how many people out of the 700 roughly in Mountjoy prison would you say characterise as middle class?
I would say 96% of the prison population statistically would say come from a poorer background. So 4% of the prison population are middle class. And you have to look into the context of sex offenders, for example, women make up a certain percentage of the prison population, and sex offenders are from all backgrounds. I won't stigmatise middle class, but
we
from
shouldn't
all
be laughing. I know what you're saying. Yes, it is drugs, sex offender, that kind of. Yes. But that's where you'll find them.
You'll probably find the majority are in that category.
96% versus 4%. Yeah. What are we to make of that, of those figures?
Well, look. I suppose we look back. It's not a new problem. Poorer backgrounds have suffered disproportionately from lack of investment, lack of opportunity,
education,
and we are reaping the rewards of that now. And I mean, it's a problem that will take time to resolve. But like events like the today's event, for example, that we're having a conference or a workshop, we'll call it, with employers. Approximately 40 employers from various sectors. So we're looking at the likes of hospitality, construction, retail and service industries. And a lot of really big players in those sectors are coming today to this workshop. It's being hosted by IBEC, which in itself is a huge, huge departure. IBEC, traditionally associated with big business, money, affluence. Danny McCoy is speaking at the event today, and he has really shown his support behind. And really what we're doing is we're not looking for people to come and say, oh, we'll give this guy a job. We're looking to raise the awareness about how important employment is in breaking the cycle of criminal activity. And SULAS, for example, the State Education and Training Board, invest heavily in education and work training programs for offenders and for people in all aspects of society. But we're speaking specifically about prison. So, there are a lot of really good initiatives, good programs, and a lot of goodwill out there to try and break this cycle. It will take time and it will take a lot of commitment and a lot of perseverance.
So what's your dream in terms of employers and reformed prisoners? Is that a fair description?
Yeah.
What's your dream? I mean, let me just, before I ask, let you answer that, if you don't mind, the figures you say in your TED talk were just astonishing. 70% of the prisoners you have in Mountjoy have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. 70.
Now, mental health issues, Ryan, could be anxiety and depression, right up to psychosis.
I understand. Yeah, sure. 80% have addiction issues, 80%, and 60% left school before the age of 15 years, even younger again. And then the figure which tallies with what you've been saying all morning to me here is that 96% of the population in prison come from disadvantaged communities. Yeah. I mean, it is astounding. So why have IBEC decided, right, we need to talk about this, we need to bring prisoners back into society, give them a second go, reintegrate?
Okay, well, I suppose it started from the TED Talk, and Danny McCoy couldn't make the TED Talk, so he had said he would like to come along, so we invited him into Mountjoy. We had a really good discussion. Danny had a tour of the prison, and I think when people tour the prison and they actually get a sense of, first of all, prisoners are very open, they'll talk to anybody that comes in, so, it isn't as daunting in some ways as people would expect. But, and I suppose Danny McCoy is a practical man. I mean, the labour force, we're almost at full employment, so they're looking at various ways to attract people into the employment sectors, and certain sectors like hospitality struggle to retain people. So there's a practical side to it too, but I think to be fair to him and to be fair to IBEC, there's a social conscience in IBEC, which, believe it or not, if you dig deep, you'll find it, it's there. And they really are keen to help us in what way they can, in any way they can. And today, again, is about raising awareness. Ryan, I have to mention, there are a lot of really champions in the community. Nevin McGuire, for example, has continuously employed ex-offenders, got a lot of flack at times from it. Some of the red tops, went to particularly to town on him in relation to the people he'd employed. Dominic Kemp, another entrepreneur, chef. Dominic is speaking at the event today. And there are a lot of people like that who have really shown commitment and perseverance, because sometimes there is negative attention paid to, not sometimes, a lot of the time there's negative attention paid to prisoners and ex-prisoners and people that try to assist or try to get involved in rehabilitation programs often experience some negative publicity that can adversely affect their business. So for somebody to step up to the plate and say, look, I'm quite prepared to give this guy a chance or to support a program, is a brave step.
There's a guy in the UK you reference who is Timpson, Key Cutters. Yeah. And is this your role model in terms
James Timpson, the IPRT, which is an advocacy group for prisoners, held a conference about 12 months ago, and James Timpson was the keynote speaker.
And who's he?
No, he's a very, very affluent individual. His father would have been in the House of Lords, as far as I can recollect. So he would be a man of considerable means. Mm-hmm. His father was, I suppose, sometimes you don't have to scratch too far to see where these people get a social conscience.
Yes.
He told a story about his... when he'd come down for breakfast in the morning, very often there would be four or five children around the table having breakfast that he'd never met before. And his father and mother used to take in emergency children into emergency accommodations, you know, for fostering kind of thing.
Yes.
So that was probably where his social conscience came from. Timpson's a very big business. I think they've about 1,800 retail outlets, or maybe 18,000. I could be getting the figure wrong. In the UK, it's a service business. It's an area where people don't require deep skills, so they can work in retail and key cutting and so on. Mm. So James Timpson felt that, you know, they needed to intervene and support some. Good cause, and he worked with the UK Prison Service for quite a while, and they decided that they would introduce a programme of hiring ex-offenders. So he took 10 prisoners on, again, probably rushed into it, took the wrong 10 prisoners, they stole from him, they didn't turn up for work, they sold drugs in the shops, and it was a disaster.
That's the greatest fear
absolutely,
of all the employers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You better correct this story fast.
Absolutely. But I suppose the key here was that he persevered, and they went back to the prisons and they did a bit more research. And so, you know, planned it better than they did the first time, talked to the various people in the prisons, and decided then that what they would do is come into the prison and maybe train guys for 6 or 8 weeks before they were released, get to know them so there wasn't that barrier when they came back out. And today, 10% of the Timpson workforce are ex-offenders. And he would describe them as probably his best employees, and they've all gone up the ranks, and well, not them all, but a lot of them go up the ranks to retail managers, and he said they're a very trustworthy bunch. And the interesting thing about prisoners is, and again, I'm generalising here, but a lot of prisoners are quite honest and open. They will tell you, yeah, I've done this, I've done that, I have had addiction issues. Generally, they don't hold as many secrets. For example, if a guy goes in for a job into Timpson's, the information that the interviewer is going to get is very limited. Whereas with an ex-offender, he nearly gets all the information. It's all the background before the person goes
in. Yeah, so it's all there. So you're looking for Timpson's.
We're looking for Timpson
Irish
style.
Timpsons.
Absolutely, yeah.
To say, I presume they're all Garda vetted, and there's checks. Like, I mean, everyone's Garda vetted nowadays.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely. Well, it would really depend on the nature of the employment, how detailed the Garda vetting would be. But Ryan, I have to stress, we are looking for people like the Timpson type model, but it isn't easy. People, you know, employers really need to know, when you take on an ex-offender who may have had issues and challenges in the past, it's about perseverance, and it's about supporting these individuals when you take them on. And, you know, I think sometimes we tend to put prisoners into groups and take them into programs where ex-prisoners are on a particular program, but that keeps the stigma going. You know, so the prisoners are still in their group and they're a group of ex-prisoners. But what I would like to see is employers taking on 1, 2, 3 ex-offenders who blend in with the rest of the employees and are just employees. They're not ex-offenders working in an organisation; they're just employees.
Yes.
So, but it is important to realise that because of the nature of ex-offenders, it is a challenge at times, and they will need continued support, and sometimes they will fail, and we would hope that when they do fail that the employers will go again and say, look, that didn't work out, but we'll try again.
But big social conscience probably required, leap of faith required.
Absolutely. But you know, if you even put it down to pound shillings and pence, it makes perfect sense.
Why, is it cheaper?
Well, if you can take one guy who leaves prison, give him employment, and that works out, and he supports his family, you've broken that cycle there. Yeah. And, you know, less criminals will mean less victims.
Everyone wins.
And, I mean, that sounds very simple, and you know, it's low.
No, but it's a nice domino effect.
But you know, let's try it. Let's see how it goes.
You mentioned in your TED Talk a film that we spoke about on this programme called Michael Inside.
Yes, yes.
And I think for anyone who hasn't been in prison, and as you rightly said, the only negative against it is that the governor is considered, is portrayed as sullen and unpleasant.
Heartless.
They're not like that in real life, as we know. But I felt I got a great provide insight into the not only the mundane and pretty drab existence, because people say, oh, it's like a holiday camp in prison. Yeah, try it sometime, as somebody once said. But also the cyclical nature, particularly that the main character, it was kind of an unfortunate scenario and just caught up in it all. It's a good reference point, I think, for people.
And you know, Ryan, it's true. And imprisonment has a huge effect both on the person that's in prison but on the wider family and community. And that film that you talk about, Michael Inside, demonstrated that. If you remember, his grandfather was put under untold pressure to pay a drugs debt. And the reality is, you know, if somebody owes something in prison, a drugs debt in prison, there is no mercy shown. Yeah. So that debt will be paid come hell or high water.
By the inmate.
By either the inmate or by a family member. And I suppose criminals like the serious criminals we talk about, they exist on by fear and intimidation, and there is no mercy shown. So, you know, prison is a difficult place to be. And I can't, you know, I've said this numerous times, people talk about prison as a holiday camp, and I've seen comments where, you know, I remember recently a group of prisoners were given a Chinese takeaway and there was an outcry about the Chinese takeaway. You know, people are misguided when they think prison is an easy place. It is not an easy place. It is a very difficult place for both staff to work in and prisoners to live in.
No doubt. Sir John Timpson, Steve says, is primarily in the shoe repair business.
Yes, right.
Well, the key cutting, they all go hand in hand.
Diversified.
David says, I'm 40 years old and I'm 25 years using drugs. Over the years, I tried and tried to come off alcohol and cocaine, and I failed. I'm 13 months clean this time, and I'm delighted. I've enrolled to do an addiction course in Maynooth because I want to give back and try to help others now. It's great to hear you talking about this. Another says, I recently did the progression park run in Mountjoy, and I went in with lots of preconceived notions and ideas, but I left with a whole new attitude. The prisoners chatted to us about the usual park run stuff and times, etc. And the support from everyone was amazing. Councillor Niall Ring was on to say the local League of Ireland club Bohemians have a great association with Mountjoy through the Bohemian Foundation. Tommy Hines set this up last year as Lord Mayor. I had first-hand experience of the wonderful work it does. There's a prison, says another, overlooking Weymouth in UK with amazing views, and they have a cafe within the walls open to the public, operated by inmates, and they cook and serve the meals. Great initiative and worth a visit if anyone is in the area.
Well, Ryan, just on that, you mentioned our museum.
Yeah,
so we have relocated our museum to a new building, so we're hoping you'll come along and have a look at it.
I definitely will.
And there's a coffee shop element to the museum as well. So it's external to the prison, but it really is a fascinating visit.
Well, maybe you will eat your own medicine and have the inmates involved in the food and catering of their, you know.
We'll certainly do it.
It's something in there.
Our staff mess is managed by staff and 10 prisoners. So we do have our prisoners cook for us every day.
Is that the loaf of bread I got from the kitchen?
No, that's from the bakery.
But they're staff,
They're prisoners. Prisoners are fully involved in
all the catering. They came to have the chats there
as well.
So it is, you know, it's a work in progress, isn't it? Aren't we all? Eddie Mullins, great to see you again.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thanks for coming in to see us this morning. 515-51. Please mention that the Matt Talbot Centre, Ballyfermot, Jesse Buckley, who we are great fans of here, doing a fundraiser gig in Vicar Street on September 25th. The centre do incredible work with the marginalised community. Happy to mention that at 10:04.